podcast because he kept not, you know, he kept, he's too political. I don't want to think about politics. I want to hear about the Midnight Express.
Right. So Jim Cornette, I'll be honest, I haven't listened to Cornette Experience in quite some time.
That's okay. There's just too many good, there's too many good podcasts. And now I'm all into the Conan one.
You know, I have yet to listen to it, but I will. I keeping it 100, I hear, is just really, really funny.
But look, it's all the wrestlers you used to watch. It's Disco Inferno, Juventud, Rey Mysterio Jr., Conan.
All the filthy animals, right?
Pretty much. I haven't heard Kidman yet, but I'm sure he's around the corner. But it's a really good show, and Conan's always got a good point of view. And Conan's had more success as a wrestler and a booker as most people in the United States. People never saw it.
I tell you what, hey, once again, thank you for tuning in to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of pro wrestling news and commentary by your two smart marks, Al John and Steven. We're going to get into the show in just a little bit. Our famed promo of the week, that's what put us on the map. The promo of the week is coming. We've got mailbag. We've got some comments for this week's show, as well as our dose and spin on this week in wrestling news. Before we get into it, don't forget to support our show. You can like and subscribe to our show on our YouTube channel, as well as iTunes. That's way more important to go in there and make those comments and those 5-star reviews and to like and subscribe to our show and tell everybody over social media that you support and you listen to Pro Wrestling Cast because you love what we do. And because you love what we do, we provide you this show for free every single week, sometimes twice a week. You can also support us by clicking on our links at ProWrestlingCast.com. We're talking about Amazon, where you can pick up all the same goods and get all the great low prices and delivered straight to your doorstep without any additional cost to you. Amazon simply gets us a little bit of commission for everything you buy when you visit our website and click our Amazon banner. T-Blocks is there. We also have Fandango links. And, of course, MagicalJourneysVacations.com, where you can book your next Disney cruise or any cruise or Disney trip to Walt Disney World or Disneyland or even Universal Studios Orlando. And you can book that through my wife, Kristen. She'd be happy to help you and your family on your way to a very special magic moment vacation. And now, on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one, when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
So, you know, we were texting about Eva Marie.
I love it.
And
all red everything. Prepare to be tantalized.
Yeah. I like the intro, actually.
I think it's great. It's a nice heat number.
Oh, yeah. The guy's voice is annoying. But anyway, one morning I'm texting you and I said, oh, they're going to do a women's title on SmackDown. Looks like Tits McGee is going to win the title, right?
Right.
So I'm talking to my wife this particular morning, and I say, and she didn't want me to share this, but...
She can share whatever she wants. There's my coffee mug there.
Oh, that's a good-looking coffee mug.
Right.
So anyway, she says, I said, haha, I told Al John, you know, Meltzer said there's going to be a women's title after on his radio show, and I was telling him Tits McGee's going to win the title, you know, Eva Marie, and my wife says, that's my nickname. You can't call her that.
You see, I thought you said
that's really what happened.
You said Tits McGee, and I was thinking to myself, what you're talking about the Irish last kicker, Becky Lynch? Because you say that, and I was like, oh, McGee, well, she's Irish, and I'm like, boots.
Oh,
like,
no.
Okay, maybe it's a slight on the fact that she has very little boots, but okay.
Is that true?
Anyway, let's go ahead and move on.
Okay. I just wanted to start the show with that. I promised her that it'd be for saying something so silly to me.
It is funny. You know, we do this show for entertainment purposes, so believe what you will. I think it's hilarious. And you know what? We do love the women on the WWE roster, no matter what show they belong to. My name is Al John Goh, lifelong wrestling fan and broadcaster. I could be giving Michael Cole a run for his money, if you will.
Michael.
How you doing, Michael? You can't even hear that anymore.
I know.
Joined by, of course, our wrestling heel commentator and the man with the glove of injustice, Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
You know, I love my wife very much. I do everything for her, and I give her names and recognition.
Yes. Offer the praise on the highest level.
She's one of the top tweeners I've ever known.
I tell you what, I don't know if, we never videotaped this. You know, a couple years ago, we started doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all came over to the house. Y'all, you see, there's my southern draw.
Right. Michael, come over.
There you go, Michael. There you go, Michael. What do you say there, Michael? And then all of a sudden, your wife is wanting to hand out chops like Ric Flair.
Right, yeah.
Like,
I do remember that. She doesn't do that anymore. I think she... Well, I got chopped by that wrestler, and I think she saw that it could really hurt somebody.
It really can. I almost got chopped by Herman the German. And that was...
From
that would have been WWE awesome. Team. Yes.
Well, Ulf, awesome. You know, Ulf would have probably not done... I don't know. I mean, I know how you know him, and considering that scenario, if I were him, I probably wouldn't have chopped you too hard.
No, he probably wouldn't have.
Because guys, you can really get hurt out there with the chops.
Yeah, I'm sure I could. We're going to have our promo of the week, and then our wrestling news and commentary. Steven, what do we have just teaser for news? You got a lot of G1 in info, right?
You know, the G1 started kind of slow and has just gained steam. I saw one of the best matches of the year last, it's in the top three along with, you know, AJ Nakamura and Okada Tanahashi from Wrestle Kingdom. It was Ishii against Okada, and Tanahashi's been wrestling injured. It's been a really interesting G1, and there's all sorts of other strange things going on in the world of wrestling. That's a great thing. It's not all WWE. There's always something interesting going on, right?
Well, if you're brand new to the show, you know that we will talk about the WWE because they do take up a lot of time. However, we talk about international wrestling news, independent wrestling. Occasionally we'll talk about TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and so many others, CMLL, Lucha Underground, what have you. So be on the lookout for that. But before we get into the news, let's get into the Pro Wrestling Cast news bag, shall we? Our letter bag.
All right.
Our feed.
You have this anonymous general manager email me personally. My address is candypants564@gmail.com.
So this comes to us from Paul B. Out of Pensacola. And Paul had sent me a note and said, went to the NXT show in Pensacola last night. Ember Moon. Thought her name sucks. Although, awesome match with Asuka. Stole the show. She's going to be good. Nobody really knew who she was when she came out. Then she got a standing ovation at the end of the match. Enjoying the podcast. Hope you and Steven make it to Mania this year. Also, why no Cornette promo of the week? I know Steven hates him, but he was microphone gold. Might also be worth going back and digging up some Buddy Rogers promos too. Would beat the hell out of Kalisto. No doubt about that. And then I write him
back. How true that is.
I said, I wrote him back. And he goes, she and Asuka had a very physical match. Ember had surprising power and also did some high flying too. I think you guys will really enjoy her when she debuts. For a great Cornette promo, check out Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express on the mic, or Jim Cornette makes a public plea on YouTube. I'm doing well. Hope you are too. Enjoy the show. Glad to support you, Paul. So
Yeah. Well,
what do you say? What do you say there about the cornet? Because we do talk about the Midnight Express quite often here on the show.
Well, I've always, I think Paul's referring to when I made a comment. I'd gotten tired of Cornette talking about the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. I think I got really annoyed when he talked about Kenny Omega, because Kenny Omega is like the nicest human in the world, and there's really no reason to start a Twitter feud with him, which, you know, it's kind of like Cornette talking about something now. It's kind of like Lou Thesz talking about Shawn Michaels being a gay stripper or a male stripper, sorry. Whatever type of stripper you want to be, really, is up to you. But, you know, but Lou Thesz wouldn't really know how to relate to that. And I think Cornette, it's similar because of, you know, the time period he's from. But I'm only pointing out that, you know, he chooses to remain in the business and cut promos on people past his time period. That being said, his time period in Mid-South is my favorite stuff, absolutely. And on a much older show, not much older, I pointed out that my favorite angle ever was a Mid-South Wrestling in Louisiana, Bill Watts, Jim Cornette, are basically the two heaters in the situation, and it leads to the last Stampede feud, which is basically the Midnight Express versus Bill Watts and then the Junkyard Dog dressed up as Stagger Lee, which is really funny. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing with the birthday cake is incredible, and it's not just that he gets his face thrown on the birthday cake. There's so many ins and outs, and it involves like 10 or 11 people, and it's just amazing. So I'm a huge Jim Cornette fan. I love Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The Midnight Express is my favorite tag team. I just didn't really like his booking by the time he got to Ring of Honor. You know, sometimes you go forward, and it gets to the point where you aren't quite in your time period anymore. And it happened to Bill Watts when he took over WCW in 1992. It was a period where he had just gone past his prime, and I think that's all it was with Cornette. I'm a huge Cornette fan. We should make Jim Cornette our promo of the week.
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to do, my friend. I appreciate that. You know, I think when it comes to Jim Cornette, I think he's still an amazing talker. I think he's a very captivating wrestling personality and a great manager, very effective manager. I still think he has things to offer the wrestling business in terms of booking, in terms of knowledge, wrestling knowledge, if you will. However, there is a point, I believe, creatively, yes, of course, that, you know, you're right. He may have had that particular signature as a Cornette signature, much like Vince Russo has a signature, much like Vince McMahon has a signature, much like Pat Patterson has a signature, you know, when it comes to booking creative ideas and things of that nature. Dusty Rhodes, same thing.
Right.
Right. So there comes a point where you make that happen, and then all of a sudden it's fresh and it's great, and then all of a sudden it's dated, because we've seen that before. You know, wrestling audiences, even more today than yesterday, are being bombarded by these different things, and they become fashionable and then they fade away. There is something to be said about the tried and true method that a lot of old school people still do, and a lot of old school people still prefer. But I think it's not, I'd like to think that it's not exactly the tried and true that may be able to reach a broader audience. I believe there's something to be said about that, but I think it's a combination of new ideas and fresh ideas and packaging combined with the older school stuff that will make it palatable to a much more broader and new wrestling audience, and still maintain capture the shock awe and delight of wrestling fans everywhere. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think that's all true. I think there has to be a new way, because WWE, to my eyes, is struggling with their booking. They have a tremendous roster. New Japan has great booking, but, you know, their roster is sort of shrinking. And New Japan's sort of in the middle. Some of the old school Memphis, Jim Cornette type stuff. You know, Jim Cornette's very much a Tennessee wrestling person. He's from Kentucky. He loved wrestling shows in Louisville, the Louisville Gardens. He liked to watch the Memphis shows. He was on NWA. He was in Memphis for a while. He did a lot of that, you know, and I get that. Look, that's my favorite stuff. I mean, it is.
Right.
That's all I do. It's like, I heard there's going to be a network drop of new NWA episodes. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
New NWA episodes. And we can only pray that the boogeyman, Jimmy Valiant, is on them with multiple promos.
Oh, let's please have Boogie Boy in there, please.
I'm getting sidetracked. I'm sorry. Another thing I should that was a great comment. He had a lot of good information. Ember Moon, who was known as Athena, was a really great independent wrestler. Obviously, she's in Orlando with NXT now. And she's had some great matches for Shimmer. Basically, NXT cherry picks Shimmer, their monthly shows, and offers them contracts. You know, and that's where they get all these great female wrestlers, you know. But yeah, I'd always heard she was awesome. She's in the independents. She's from somewhere in Texas. I can't remember where. But she's at the independents around Texas, and some of our Louisiana friends on the our wrestling fan page, or whatever you call it, had actually seen her before and knew who she was. So they were excited to see her too. So yeah, she could be a welcome, should be a welcome addition in the more wrestling capacity, the sort of divas versus wrestlers thing that we talk about. She's definitely a wrestler. So yeah, of course she had a great match with Asuka because, you know, she's awesome. And that's why Asuka's there, to have matches with awesome people early on. They've had matches before. So I'm really excited to see her come on the main roster and maybe be a big breakout star. I think Booker T might have trained her.
I believe so. I think you're right. And you can find that on Reality of Wrestling on YouTube and check it out. And it was great to see her show up. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I know this chick. And she's wearing some really unique ring gear, which I like. So, you know, hey, I'm all for it.
I don't think it's that bad of a name. It's okay. They've come up with some shit names, but it's not like Fang McFrost or whatever. But it's okay. It's not that bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see if the name sticks. I don't know if that name is going to stick, but I hope it doesn't.
And as far as Buddy Rogers, I do have some knowledge of Buddy Rogers, but you know, he was like the originator of the Ric Flair gimmick, and was incredible. I can only imagine how incredible he was to watch on WWF, or actually the NWA before that, because that's sort of when the split happened. He was their first champion.
Which is kind of funny because the WWF was still a member of the NWA and into it. It's interesting to learn about the history of the NWA and learn that the WWF was still a member of the NWA. Isn't that crazy?
But that was the first move in what happened, because they split from the NWA and said, hey, well, we got New York, you know. And they wanted to, you know, Buddy Rogers is the type of thing they wanted to push. And then NWA wanted to have Luthez. Mm-hmm. And they knew damn well if Buddy Rogers took on Luthez, that Luthez would legitimately
shoot on him.
He'd hook him in a move and probably could hurt him really bad. I'm not trying to say, oh, it's lame that he wasn't tough. I'm just saying, I know this about Buddy Rogers. I know that he was in line to get some food somewhere in Florida. He was in his late 60s. Somebody came in and held up the place. The guy hit him with a chair, which sounds like he probably came up and he hit him with a wooden chair, you know, in a fracas. Buddy Rogers recovered and beat the guy up in his late 60s. So I just always thought that was a great, great story.
I think that is a great story. I don't know if that's legit. So
I don't know if it's legit. Somebody could have made it up. I don't know. I read books. When I read something from a book, I tend to believe it more than the internet, but does that even mean anything? You know.
No, it just depends on who writes it. I mean, you know, we're waiting for that Vince Russo book, by the way.
Yeah, it was written by Vince Russo.
It was written by Vince Russo.
The book, yeah. The History of the NWA by Vince Russo.
You know what's true, bro. Come on, bro.
This week in wrestling news.
There's a lot of it. Let's first start with the G1 Climax from New Japan. And G1 is dominating news headlines everywhere. He had awesome matches. I have yet to check it out, truth be told, because I have been so busy. But Steven, you've gotten a chance to preview a few of the matches of the G1 Climax. Number 26, by the way. Oh my gosh. Is it number 26? Mm-hmm. My God.
Yep.
Going on for a long time, man. It's been going on. It's been going on. Yeah, it's been going on slightly longer than the dry streak of Jim Cornette's booking.
So anyway. Come on. He booked good up until 93, 94.
I'm just trying to loop it around now. Okay, go ahead. I'm joking, Jim. Don't flame me, bro.
Oh God. He's nuts.
Oh my God. He's gonna treat me like Ricochet in a moment. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, Ricochet's on wrestling cards. I'm just saying. Jim Cornette has a vast collection of shit, by the way. I mean, it's really there's a dynamic there because he has all the cool old stuff collected. He's a collector of great stuff. So it's just an old versus new thing.
Yeah, wrestling tapes. How about that? Mid-Atlantic years. I can't wait to get that box set. That'll be great. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he's got all kind of – he owns some of the footage somehow. I don't know how he pulled that off. Him and Meltzer bought a bunch of tapes and did commentary on it and tried to sell it as DVDs, and it was just
Jim Ross loves it.
The only cool thing I saw on that was it was a tape of the Sheik, not the Iron Sheik, the original one in Michigan, mm-hmm. Sabu's uncle taking on Andre the Giant, and he beat Andre the Giant in four minutes via fireball. I was like, so much for that winless, lossless streak or whatever. I'm totally off base. The G1, I believe it started in 1990. I think I was 10 years off just now. Main guys I've seen come up are, and I'll just give a broad perspective. There are several kick-ass motherfucking matches.
We are live and uncensored, by the way.
Oh, saying. Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, I only use the F word when I'm really excited.
Yes, that's all right.
Now, last year's G1 was better. It culminated with Shinsuke Nakamura and Tanahashi having a straight-up five-star match. No two ways about it. That's what it was. And I don't know what they'll pull off this year, but they just had what I thought may have been a five-star match. Now, only one guy can give a match five stars because he's the guy that started doing it. Well, he didn't start it, but actually, Jim Cornette started that. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Jim Cornette started the five-star match system.
I thought Chris Jericho invented it.
Greg Dooley had a newsletter, and he was friends with Jim Cornette, and they would give match ratings. And they'd go up to four stars, and they saw Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler have a match in Memphis. And they said, well, that was five stars. If those others are four, let's do five-star matches. So, and then Meltzer started his newsletter like Dooley and blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
So we saw one last night. Ishii, one of the toughest, baddest motherfuckers – gone. I believe he won our best brawler of the year award. Did he not? Was that?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Had a match with Okada, and surprisingly, they had an Ishii styled match instead of an Okada styled match.
Wow!
And Okada got the shit beat out of him and pinned. You know, that's a dynamic booking that you can do at the G1 because guys have so many matches over the course of a few weeks here. You know, and it was a very emotional, awesome match. It was the biggest win of Ishii's career. Some of you may have seen him in Ring of Honor. He had a pretty good feud with Bobby Fish going. I mean, obviously he's in Japan. It's hard to feed back and forth. He had a beautiful, beautiful match with Tetsuya Naito that I also caught. And actually Nakamura recently said he was one of the best workers in New Japan on the Chris Jericho podcast. So big ups to Ishii. Okada, as always, has been the shit in the G1. He had a match earlier in the tournament. Maybe it was night four or five. I never make notes, people. That's why I'm all over. I scramble all over the place. But it was with Mara Fuji from Pro Wrestling Noah. And, man, Mara Fuji has really been an MVP as well. You know, he did it. And then he did a main event with Tanahashi. That was also, you know, when I say a match is awesome, if you're a match rating guy, that means it's four stars or more. Okay, if you're not a match rating guy, I'm just telling you to watch it because it's good. Tanahashi's been injured. His frame has sort of decreased in size. His body is not as beautiful as it once looked. Okay, I'm sorry.
Aww.
But so Gato booked it to where he kept losing. In the G1, it's like, Tanahashi's hurt. So he loses, okay? This is, you know, logic, okay? So then what happens is, it's like, well, Tanahashi gets on a win streak even though he's hurt, you know? And you can tell he's decreased his use of moves. But just like Nakamura can do, and actually does it better than Nakamura, psychologically, he can just go all these different directions. And he is a great worker. We were talking about wrestlers and workers. He is a wrestler and a worker. He's one of the few that can do it. And he's been the shit. He's been putting over people Bad Luck Fale, he put over. I think he's put him over a couple of times now. Of course, he put over Kenny Omega. Hopefully, Kenny Omega and Tanahashi will have that ladder match, maybe at the G1. I don't know. The G1 at Wrestle Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And Kenny Omega has been pretty good. He really hasn't blown me away. And to be honest, seeing Kenny Omega in the tournament has shown me that, you know, AJ Styles is a superior wrestler far and away, although I like Kenny's act better. AJ's just one of the best wrestlers in the world, and Kenny's almost one of the best wrestlers in the world. So, what's my MVP? Is the injured Tanahashi pulling out four-star matches? He had a four-star match with Sanada of TNA fame, if we're our big TNA fans out there.
And They're fear.
Yeah, Marufuji, Ishii, Naito is always a pleasure, but I'm such a mark for him that that's just what I'm going to say. I think Naito will win it, and Tanahashi injured, and Okada, of course, who's always there. These are the MVPs thus far of the tournament. The tournament has started to kick fucking ass. Yuji Nagata is in the tournament, so that means the tournament will kick ass just with that in itself. So, yes, I'm starting to think the G1 is the shit. Last year's was better. It's still the shit, though. It's still constant 4 and 4.5-star matches. I don't know what kind of main event we'll do, because now you've set the precedent with Okada Ishii. You know, maybe Tanahashi Naito or Naito Okada, I guess. I don't know. Very compelling storytelling, as always, from Gedo.
I'm down with that. I cannot wait. I've got a lot of wrestling to catch up with, and I cannot wait for that. So
just 216 matches that you have to watch, so don't worry.
It's a lot. But you know what? The great thing is that you've got Steven here to help break it down for you, so you can just move on to the highlights and follow the G1 climax with us here at Pro Wrestling Cast, and then you can chime in with what your favorite matches are. I think that I will definitely be checking out that Ishii match, because I am down with Ishii. So
I'm kind of wondering what Rob Jenkins out there is thinking, because he is watching the G1 nightly, I've noticed, on Facebook.
That is so much wrestling, Bobby.
Rob Jenkins likes Japan wrestling like old Steve.
Well, I'm give a shout out to old Rob, and I call him Bobby just because we're on a first name basis.
Yeah, I'm on a first name basis. I've never called him that in the 20 years I've known him, but
sure. I can call him that, right?
I guess so. Yeah, go for it.
Sure. I just did. So let's go on now to WWE news. What is this about Shelton Benjamin? Tell me about this, because the big hype of Shelton Benjamin on SmackDown in Nashville this week. But by the way, you were busy and I'm busy. We couldn't make the show this time out, but it wasn't bad. You know, what are your thoughts and what's up with Shelton Benjamin?
I will just read the tweet from this morning, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. I am both disappointed and saddened to announce that due to serious injury to my shoulder, I will not return to WWE at this time. It sounds like he got his shoulder seriously hurt from all those wacky ass Pro Wrestling Noah matches, and he can't come back.
He wasn't medically cleared.
I do not know what happened. This news broke 3 hours ago.
And this Father, is Sunday, by the way.
Right, and Father already did his Sunday morning radio show. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't aware of this happening just yet. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hadn't listened to Meltzer this morning, to be quite honest. It's too early. It's too damn early. I'm watching wrestling before we get onto the show, people. That's how dedicated I am and how dedicated Steven is. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I listen to that shit at 7 a.m. usually. But, I don't really know a lot about it other than he's not going to be there. It does sadden me. As he said, I mean, it really does, because Shelton is one of the best they've ever had. I mean, I really mean that Toothless Aggression era, you call it?
Yes. Yeah. The Toothless Aggression era. Yeah.
He was one of the best. He pinned Triple H and got that big push back in 2005. Which was great. Yeah.
Awesome match.
Yeah. You know, you can do that anytime you want. You can book that stuff like that anytime you want.
Yeah. He got great matches with Triple H, Shawn Michaels. If I remember correctly. Just awesome. Awesome. Just in both of them in the air, catching Shawn Michaels and just, you know, doing great, great work. And completely captivating Shelton Benjamin. And it was great in Ring of Honor too. no doubt. One of the highlights of seeing Haas and Benjamin, you know, recapture tag team excitement over there at Ring of Honor. Definitely must catch matches for sure. But very disappointed in that. And I know Shelton is as well, because we were ready to get Shelton Benjamin in, especially with those promos and teasers that they have on SmackDown. But we also have more reports of other wrestlers trying to join this roster. Jinder Mahal, of course, makes his return to the two-man band, beating up Heath Slater on Monday Night Raw to earn himself a spot on the Monday Night Raw roster, while Heath Slater continues to be the unsigned free agent for both shows. So how about that? Plus, I also hear rumblings of we talked about Carlito. We talked about we did not talk about Great Khali, although that name has been bantered about.
No, great
time and JTG and maybe coming back. Mickey James, I heard they reached out to Mickey James, fresh into motherhood with Magnus. They might even sign Magnus. You don't know what is up. What's going on with this talent stuff going on?
I don't think any of the let's start. Jinder Mahal is the key to the gate. Okay, why Jinder Mahal? Okay, because they're offering these low ball contracts and people are turning them down. And beforehand, you know, if you're Tommy Dreamer and you're 24, you're like, wow, WWE, it's my big shot. But if you're Tommy Dreamer and you're 44 and you got House of Hardcore and they offer you $100,000 a year, which is basically $20,000 a year minus expenses, and you can't do House of Hardcore anymore, you're going to be wise enough and old enough to say, no, I got to turn this down. Mickey James, I have heard that's her decision. I know she's here in town. She does music. She does independence. She does House of Hardcore with Tommy Dreamer. I think since she's close with Dreamer, she's actually in a tag team death match this weekend. I forgot where it was. She's still very active. You know, I don't know what will happen with that. If I were her, I would turn it down. You know, Rhino and Jinder Mahal signed. Okay, so we got that. But, guys, when I say you got signed for $100,000, you know, I'm sure you're all thinking, holy shit, that's, you know, that's twice as much as I make in a year.
Supposedly. Supposedly they're offering that. Right?
That's what they offer.
It's not a whole lot because
you
texted me this morning. I was very shocked because as a contractor, the WWE, as you mentioned, pays for your flight, but you pay for rental car, you pay for food, you pay for lodging expense, communication expense, all that stuff. I'm on the road just about every week.
Right.
And if I'm working on the cheap, I might be able to spend $400 just a week just in food and lodging. And that's being very, very, very cheap.
Well, let's say it's $600. Okay. That's $32,000 a year just there.
Just in expenses.
Okay. I'm not saying those are your personal expenses. We're not getting to your personal business. I'm talking, you know, but
we're guesstimating here. This is a roundabout guesstimate.
The point is they do not make $100,000 a year.
Right.
And, you know, she's like, wow, $100,000 a year. My friend's a young doctor and he makes $102,000 a year. It's not the same thing. Plus you pay taxes on that same rate because you're a 1090. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got a lot going on with this. You're an independent contractor for them, but you can't go wrestle anywhere else. The Young Bucks can make $200,000 a year the way they have it set up. Mm-hmm. Sell their merchandise to go to Japan, Ring of Honor, PWG, selling T-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. They have it figured out better than anybody. But if I were a Tommy Dreamer with House of Hardcore, if I were a Mickey James doing a record in Nashville, doing independent shows, I wouldn't sign a contract where I couldn't – you see what I'm saying? I wouldn't sign a contract where I couldn't do outside stuff. Look, the proof is in the pudding. Rhino is the only guy we've seen. And now you got Jinder Mahal, and I'm just like, okay, great. Okay, Jinder Mahal. I mean, go for it. You know, where's Carlito? Carlito's dad is Carlos Colon. Yes. And I do on a personal level hold a bit of a grudge because something happened to my favorite wrestler, you know, under his watch.
Yes.
You know, but it has nothing to do with Carlito, obviously. But that would be Bruiser Brody. But, you know, Carlito's no dumb-dumb, okay? Don't let that act fool you. He's not gonna come in for that. They're gonna have to give him. You know, AJ Styles, if he got offered 200, I would think that AJ Nakamura came in for 250,000 a year. That was my guess, right? Or 300. So naturally, these guys make 100. Now Nakamura wants to make an impression. He wants to come in to do that. AJ, same thing. He wants to be home with the kids in Georgia. You know what I mean? And the wife and kids and all that. And that makes sense. But if you can't come in for 100 grand, I just don't think I am surprised I haven't seen MVP. I would think MVP wouldn't do it. But maybe Chris Masters, you know. But, again, these guys are our age, so they're like, yo, man, I need my money. And the numbers don't add up. Maybe that's it. But there's nobody here.
Well, if they were to band together to save on expenses, that would help out tremendously. And I know that some of the guys would do that, you know. They are looking for anyone with some marquee value. And I tell you, if you're one of the indie workers out there, former WWE talents, you might actually be okay and maybe be able to negotiate doing some other kind of things or at least merchandising. I don't know what they could do, but maybe a little bit more and be taken care of. At least have the payments come in on a regular basis. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes that type of money, might be good. So where do you go from there?
Right.
You know, but of course there's some other people that may be coming aboard due to the cruiserweight tournament competitors. Do you think Brian Kendrick and Tajiri could come in as, to fill out that roster just a little bit, when it comes to the cruiserweights? Because, you know, you were talking a little bit about who has a contract and who did not sign a contract with the cruiserweight division.
I think Cedric Alexander will be signed, and I'm pretty sure Máscara Dorada, I forget, is Gran Metalik.
Yes.
I know they're in. Zack Sabre cannot sign until late this year or next year. I don't know the reason. It was a personal reason.
How about Kota Ibushi?
And Kota Ibushi just did a podcast in Japan, and he said that it was in Japanese, but it was a translated version I read, saying that he did not sign a full-time contract. Now, he could be making that up to play whatever. But, you know, if I were them, I would book I know them. They're not going to push somebody who's not signed. Kota Ibushi, I kind of stress this to everybody, is nuts, okay?
Shinsuke Nakamura said it on Jericho's podcast. He's kind of weird.
He backed me up, okay? I said it a couple weeks ago. Nakamura said it. It's not a coincidence. And then now he's saying this. What he would like to do is win the Cruiserweight Classic, be offered a full-time position on Raw, and then go wrestle a tag match with a doll in DDT instead, with fireworks, and the gay wrestlers are molesting him. All in the same match, by the way. That's kind of what he does. He does what he wants to do.
Right. He does whatever.
They're not going to chain him down and say you're not going to Japan. He's not going to do that. You know, Nakamura knew what he was getting himself into. He heavily altered his style. I don't care what anybody says. His style is different. Kota Ibushi, you watch his match with God, what is the Samoan guy's name? Young, he's part of the lineage. God, what's his damn name? Mara. There's a lot of wrestlers. There's a lot of wrestlers in the world.
A lot of Samoans in the world. In
whoever Kota Ibushi wrestled on the third night of the Cruiserweight Classic is who I'm referring to.
Talking about Maluda, Sean Maluda.
Sean Maluda. Yeah, they had a reckless
on NXT.
Yeah, exactly. He did a match with someone I forgot to. But my point is, it's too many shows. I watched it. It was on Wednesday. my point is that Sean Maluda is pretty reckless too. These guys had a really reckless type of match, and Ibushi's doing his dangerous shit, and he's a dangerous guy, and he's not going to alter his style. You know, what I could see Ibushi doing is doing a few shows of Cruiserweight Classic, doing a few NXT shows. You know, maybe he hooks up with Ember Moon and Bayley, and then flies back to Japan.
on different nights, and by the way Sean Maluda did wrestle against Hideo Itami on his Hideo Itami or Kenta, if you will, beat the snot out of him. So
I wanted to make something very this is important to me personally.
Yes,
Kenta in all caps was his name in Japan. That is not the same person as Kenta Kobashi. Now people that know who Kenta Kobashi is knows that. But I think I've seen a lot of this on the internet. That's not the same guy. No. Kenta Kobashi is literally twice as good as Ric Flair at wrestling. I promise you, I know. And Kenta is really awesome. Okay, so I just wanted to say that. They just happen to have the same name. It's like if my name were George and your name were George, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing in the world.
No.
Right? Okay, right. Here you go. Okay,
I'm just saying. Just Monday Night Raw for me was not bad at all, and SmackDown kind of redeemed itself. I do like the new the way they show the names on SmackDown, a little bit different presentation. I'm still not keen with the way the sets are because it just looks to me like it's still Monday Night Raw, and the way they shoot, even though they don't have a ramp, it really does make it look like they have a ramp, which is really strange, but it is anyway. And the fact that Brock Lesnar came back getting RKO'd at the final segment of Raw with Paul Heyman in tow. Paul Heyman, once again, cutting great promos. And then Tuesday night, making all about that, I thought, and then with Brock Lesnar in exchange with Randy Orton, I think was actually really good. I mean, programming is not bad. Did they still have some of the WWE kind of Kevin Dunn-isms that they have in terms of creative? A little bit, yeah. But I think it's a much more cohesive product. I think it's a little bit SmackDown definitely, for me, improved. It improved in the ratings, which was good as well, it seemed. But I like what they're doing with SmackDown, making it different, having the different interviews and things in there. The look has changed. Stephen, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to make a controversial statement.
Go for it.
Not as controversial as I normally do. Just a normal person.
You're just prepping our audience in advance to brace themselves.
And no. Don't brace yourself. I'm not going to condemn someone to hell or something like that. Not yet.
Okay. Continue to brace yourself.
I don't think Finn Balor is going to get over in a main event position. That's my early guess. His introduction was fantastic.
I liked it.
And then he came out and did your basic one-on-one interview segment with the annoying Seth Rollins. And right. See, you got it.
I know. The dastardly laugh.
Like shut.
I am the best ever.
I feel like I shouldn't feel like I could fight him and be at least keeping up. I mean,
that segment didn't bother me, though. That segment, I mean, not to interrupt you, but that segment didn't really bother me so much.
Sure.
You know, no, I thought it was okay. With the
segment. No, there's nothing wrong with the segment. What I meant to say was that I could just see the Rollins towering over Balor so much in the scenario, and then the crowd not quite knowing who he was so much. And he's very small. And I saw him up close. I know how small he is.
Well, he's a Daniel Bryan replacement. You know, he has to work from underneath at all times. He needs the crowd. And once again, it's that big old trick. I think Dusty Rhodes had said it. Cody Rhodes had said it. It's all about making sure, and you may have mentioned this, it's all about making sure that the babyface requires the assistance of the crowd to help overcome his obstacle, right?
Right, but there is nothing like that in this. There's really no reference point. He's like, you're an NXT champion, but I was one before. Like, I don't give a shit about that. You know, two million of these people don't watch NXT. You know, they go...
Just wait for the belt to come out. Once we see how the belt looks and
I thought it was a truck. Yeah, you won a truck. You won the truck.
Oh, you won the Raw GMC truck challenge and you
it's a Ram truck, right?
It's a Ram truck, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's fully loaded. This is like a $45,000 truck.
I don't know. I think the truck might be better than the actual championship belt. You could drive that to the ring like
Stone Cold. I would prefer it. I mean,
what if all the titles change from being
you drive the truck
titles to cars, and then all of a sudden the Intercontinental title comes out with like a John Deere four wheeler. Right.
Okay.
The women's champion comes out on like a smart car, like a little mini car.
Yeah, a hybrid sort of
thing. Yeah, it's a Toyota.
Okay, you know what? that's actually a great idea. All right, here's how you could initiate the whole thing. You could have Steve Austin drive down like he used to and say, I'm giving this truck to the new champion, Seth Rollins. And then Seth Rollins drives the truck away. And then the next week he drives back. And then if you lose the title, you have to get a ride.
Just don't give Brock Lesnar any Cadillacs, because we know what he does to Cadillacs, okay?
Oh, man, wasn't that the best shit ever?
I tell you, that Cadillac was on point, and then I cannot believe they destroyed it. I mean, what a nice car.
Hey, did you?
I was like, wow.
Hey, did you know that no enhancement needed Randy Orton was at a drug rehab program, allegedly, when he was off and he had one of his strikes eliminated?
I did not know that.
That's what I hear.
Wow.
Allegedly. I'm just saying, don't talk about artificial enhancement. You know, that's just, actually, guys, don't talk about that at all, because the feds will come up your keister.
Yeah, let's not do that.
You know,
let's
that I would really steer clear of that.
How about the fact that they re-signed Paul Heyman to come back, and is he worth all the money they're throwing at him? Because I say yes.
Yep. Oh, yep. Because you got like two people that can cut a promo, Stephanie and him. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now that you got rid of Ric Flair. And I mean, these guys aren't terrible at promos, but we'll go back to Cornette. I don't know how Jim Cornette became the theme of the show. But, you know, you want to go back to Cornette, Dusty, Tully Blanchard. You know, you got nothing like that anymore. You know, and Heyman, you got Heyman. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give him whatever he wants, because Heyman is just as he seems. You know, he will get what is due to him. And, from what I understand, they did that over the weekend. And that's never, why he wasn't drafted with Lesnar.
And never, ever mentioned anything about the UFC. Nothing. No mention of that at all.
I wouldn't want to mention a company that's four times as valuable as my own.
Well.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Technically. Actually, technically.
Speaking of Monday Night Raw and the New Day, which was an interesting thing, they have run an angle on WWE.com saying that Big E is out indefinitely from in-ring action. Monday on Raw, Anderson and Gallows posted Big E in the groin, which led to WWE hyping an injury situation to Big E. And the Fed says, quote, it's unknown at this time whether the tag team champion will return to in-ring action. New Day is expected to defend against the club for their coveted WWE tag team championships at SummerSlam. So what is the deal with Big E? Do you have any idea?
Well, Big E's father is a preacher, so Big E probably has a clear idea of who might burn in hell on the roster. I just wanted to point that out. he sees it. No, I don't know what's going on with that one, actually. I kind of figured it was an angle, or maybe it was that shit dive he does every match and lands directly on his head. Maybe that's it. But I don't know if he's actually hurt. I don't feel like he's hurt. It might be an angle. This is me guessing. I'm sure the news will come out right after you post this. What happened?
Probably will.
But here I'm going to guess that it's an angle, and it'll set up Kingston and Xavier, and that'll be a weakened version of New Day, and then they drop the straps to the club. You know, why don't you put Balor with them? I don't know. Right away. I mean, I would come out. That's the way to introduce him. But that's my guess.
Come in strong. Come in
strong. Stronger.
Yeah.
Stronger than that. Definitely. I mean, I'll see what happens next. What do we have? 2 weeks until SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens next 2 weeks. Before I get any backlash, I think that, you know, Rollins and Balor will have a 4-star match. Okay. That's a prediction. But, you know, I think Rollins is going to go over clean, kill Balor's tentative push, and Balor will seep back into the Cesaro position, start doing jobs like the club did, and become ineffective as a draw. And then they'll try to resuscitate him later. They do this with everybody. It's really quite stupid. To me, the logic is there. The Bill Watts logic, the, you know, Gato logic, if you want to be current, of booking somebody for heat and booking the baby face to be strong. And I don't know. I thought it was easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you've got here the NXT report, which, by the way, NXT actually still continues to be a strong show for me. I enjoy it a lot. We alluded to Hideo Itami making his return, which is yay. I'm happy and excited versus Sean Maluda. We know Hideo Itami won. And we also have American Alpha being taken out by the Authors of Pain, which is also, you know, I guess we're expecting good things from them as soon as American Alpha, you see them on SmackDown. And we know that it just won't be long. I don't think Revival will be lasting too much longer at NXT and probably getting called up before WrestleMania, in my opinion, I think.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think they're... Well, I tell you what, I saw them boys live. They were kicking motherfucking ass.
They were great, man. Of course, our favorite girl in the universe, Andrea DeMarco, asking the Revival if there's pressure after their victory over Alpha. And, of course, they have a TM61 interrupts them. Interesting. Mojo Rawley makes his way to the ring to face Chris Adkins and Kay. So it ends up being a no contest. And then Samoa Joe gets in and tells William Regal that he won't consult him on who he faces. And all of a sudden, Raleigh comes up and then gets found in the Coquina Clutch, which is awesome.
Yeah, anytime Samoa Joe beats people up, I like it, pretty much. The Bailey angle is really, I thought, was effective. I thought it was logical and made sense, giving Asuka a bit of a half turn, giving some heat to it, you know. It's kind of cool that Bailey's still there for now.
Yeah. Yeah. She's kind of in a holding pattern, it seems. But Until September. Your favorite tag team, TM61, with
the Revival, 69 boys,
is in there. And then, of course, the women's champion match, Asuka.
Don't do that. Don't do that to me.
I know. Asuka versus, I'm reading the notes here, versus Aaliyah. And then Asuka gets in there, gets in a few of her moves, and then Ember Moon comes out saying that she's advertised. Very interesting stuff there. Well, and Bobby Roode, of course. The main event, we're looking at Bobby Roode making his big old NXT, really his debut or re-debut. I don't know how you want to call it because he stuck his face out there a couple times already since TakeOver Dallas.
Right.
Stage interrupting William Regal, but... he's there, man, and it looks like he's being a bit of a heel, which is fine.
Yeah, he's got an interesting heel act. He's like, I have nice shirts and that whole thing, you know.
It's basically his TNA character.
Yeah, I mean, but it works better in NXT because you got all these youngsters around. I think he'll be successful in whatever he does. I mean, Samoa Joe was successful, you know. Coming in from TNA the same way. It was like, you know, Joe was down and then he's up. You know, Roode will do the same thing. I will say about you mispronouncing Asuka, the wrestler she's supposedly named after Lioness, Asuka.
Yes.
I for years said Lioness Asuka. I just assumed that was how you said that because I'm, you know, I don't speak Japanese.
Well, it's like saying Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, like saying, you know, people have said that before, and before I knew how to pronounce Nakamura, I'd say, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
You'd say that just automatically, and the U is not pronounced, so it's Asuka, and, you know, I mean, in Tagalog and Filipino, you pronounce the U if you want to, you know, I mean.
or I said Tetsuya Naito, because that's how I pronounce it, and then the more I listen to the opening ring announcing, I realized it was just Naito. And then, you want to talk about online marks, jumping all over your ass for saying Naito instead of Naito. It's like, well.
Or Ishii versus Ishii.
You know? Ishii. Well, you're supposed to say Ishii. I guess. I don't know. Well, the way you say Japan, the way you say the word Japan in the country of Japan is Japan, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so and when those internet people say that correctly, I'll fucking listen to them about that. Since they're Japanese linguists. Okay. I just want to see 4-star matches, people. Calm down.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It does happen. Once again, we're being thrilled by yet another Revival tag team match, and I mean that sincerely because I like TM61. They have a lot of, I think they have a lot of upward momentum. I think the Revival is just an amazing thing. So I think that's good. I mean, they had a really good match, I thought.
Are we sure the name is good? Are we sure we want to go with this? No. We could still change. Like, well, I know
I don't. I do not like the name TM61.
You told me,
but that. I do like the tag team TM61. I like their talent. I like the way they look. I think that's they're looking to be very credible. I think they're going to be working, and I think it's going to be great to see how Ciampa and Gargano go up against them. And I think it was a very strong episode overall of the Revival wins.
Yeah, it was good.
Bringing the DDT back, which I am totally about. But you have Nakamura, Joe, Bayley, Asuka, the Revival, Ciampa, Gargano, Ember Moon debuting, No Way Jose, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode. I mean, that's a pretty strong roster there for upcoming shows.
Yeah, and then you can lose a Bayley. And you can lose maybe a Nakamura or a Samoa Joe. You could lose two of them. You see, I think I actually understand the NXT drafts.
Yeah.
Because I know what Vince wants and I know what NXT needs. So that's why it didn't bother me too much. And people say you're wasting Nakamura not bringing him up. Well, I don't care. I'd rather just see him on a huge winning streak and have the title on a smaller show. That's what I'm used to.
He understands it too. I mean, that podcast with Chris Jericho. Let me say this. God love Chris Jericho. I am one of the biggest Chris Jericho fans. I love his heel persona. His interview with Kevin Owens on Monday Night Raw, where he was making up, well, who's got my back? Well, just somebody, Tom, Jimmy Jones, something.
Right.
Kevin Owens walks up and says, "You just made that name up. Don't worry, Chris, I got your back." That's like one of the best. That's one of the best ever.
It was cute.
I still love Chris Jericho, but here's the thing. What didn't make it for me with NXT is the fact it didn't make any sense that if this was a legitimate draft, then you would want to get the best talent that you have, which means getting the champions.
Right.
And the fact that they never addressed that on any show means that there's a flawed logic. And how can you have a legitimate draft and not have your NXT champion Samoa Joe go, Asuka, your women's champion go, your tag team champions? Well, you got them. The Revival's still there. But you know what I'm saying is that there are flaws in the logic in their storytelling, and why wouldn't you say, well, these people are not eligible because they are title holders, and current title holders are ineligible for a draft, or we have these programs coming up and have these bookings. These are the people that are eligible. For me, that's a huge thing that it doesn't make any sense. Like if you're doing a fantasy football draft, you want to get the best talent you can. And if it doesn't make any sense, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, that said,
to me, I thought of that, but I think it's lazy writing, because what they thought was, okay, we could do that. And they thought, wait, if we do that instinctively, you could probably pick six. You might get all six of them right, because if you say, well, we can't have Nakamura or Joe because they're fighting over the title, and we can't have the Revival because they're the champs, we can't have Asuka, and Bayley has a big match with Asuka, so she can't be drafted yet either. Then you've eliminated all the big picks, and you can kind of figure it out. So I think that's why they did that, but they should have had Regal come on the Wednesday after the Tuesday draft and say, I just wanted everyone to know I made this provision not to, but I just didn't want to do that for some reason.
I will tell you this, the Cruiserweight Championship or CWC, the CWC Cruiserweight Tournament, still great, great, great. I cannot tell you how great it is. It still continues to be great. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it, but I'm just a really big fan of Jack Gallagher. I just love Gallagher, that little guy from the UK. Love that guy. He's just awesome. Great match, having said that. And Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Wrestling, was one of the matches of the week. Yes. Tremendous. I'd been waiting for it. I tried to non-spoiler say that it was going to be awesome a while back, but now we get to see it. And there's some more kick-assness to come in round two. But that match was the shit. That was probably the best WWE match of the week. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so there we go. We crowned the match of the week. Next week.
In WWE.
Great WWE. Grand Metalik and Tajiri face off next week. Cedric Alexander versus our strange one, Mr. Kota Ibushi.
Look out for that one, people.
Look out for that. That's all I got to say about that. So we do have a couple other WWE-related news. Just so you know, the Bella Twins ended up eking out a prize this week on the Kids' Choice Awards on Nickelodeon as Female Athletes of the Year. Of course, John Cena did a great job hosting that show, much like he did the ESPYs. I thought John Cena is on a roll when it comes to these roles outside of WWE, making a great case for him to be a very charismatic host of a show. And so his hosting duties are doing just great. How about Conor McGregor? Now, we talk very sparingly about UFC. However, I will bring this up.
That being said,
this is by Conor McGregor in retort to coming into WWE along the lines of a Ronda Rousey. He says, quote, "I mean, there are some dons in that wrestling game," says McGregor. "The McMahons, they're dons. Triple H, he's a don. The Rock is a don. But the rest of them are effing peas."
Pussy, you mean?
Yes. I happen to enjoy it, but there's a little more show business. This is the fight business. McGregor also was asked what he thinks about CM Punk and Lesnar, and he says, quote, "Fair play to Brock. He got in and fought, but at the end of the day, he's a juiced up dude to the eyeballs. How can I respect him for that?" McGregor said. "The other guy hasn't fought yet, so I don't know about him yet." So those are Conor McGregor's "them is fighting" words from this week from Conor McGregor, who is a legitimate badass, folks. Legitimate. Although, you know, please don't give him a piss test.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for him to talk about somebody juicing is stupid. You know, they both juice, and Brock is a monster. McGregor is one of the best fighters in the world. As far as the WWE comment, a lot of it's kind of accurate in a weird way, but I think what he could have been doing is setting up a future run as well, as he gives praise to The Rock, Triple H, and McMahons. That's really all you have to do. And then to say the other wrestlers suck, well, hell, you go in there and you have fights with them, and it looks good. He could be – he probably is the best promo in the world in a lot of ways right now, and he's one of the top – two draws along with Rousey. Actually, Rousey's not a draw anymore, I would assume. I mean, until she has a fight and doesn't draw, she's not, you know what I mean? I mean, she is a draw.
Well, she is still a draw, and she's probably not as valued as she once was because she never had that return match. But having said that,
Holmes lost 52 fights since then. Not, I'm just kidding, but
that whole division screwed up, you know, but that's okay.
You got to book it fake. They're you got to do fake matches.
That's right. That's why they need to be WWE and continue that upward trend. The upward trend. Oh, congratulations, by the way, going out to Rusev and Lana. Thank
you. Oh, right. Them. Yeah. No, that's true. That a beautiful.
I think I was saying.
I thought you were congratulating me on, well, I mean, okay.
Well, thank you for being you, Steven. Thank you for being your usual beautiful self.
Oh, I am beautiful. Hey, I'm sorry my hair is covered up today, guys, by the way.
But, so is my hair, by the way. We're big fans of hats here on The Morning Show.
Well, I'd only wear a hat when I'm on the show, be honest with you. I don't know why I do that. My hair is so beautiful all day. People tell me how beautiful it is, obviously.
That's funny.
Obviously, but I only say that for the years of getting bullied for having it. So I'm not retrogressing by saying that. Progressing. What were we talking about?
We were talking about
wedding dresses compared to my hair. They're very similar.
Wedding dresses, by the way.
Yeah, Lana's wedding dress was beautiful. It was immaculate, and people were talking about it all week.
Yeah, I think. Good for Lana. I'm all.
No, I'm glad they got married. I will say again, I saw they walked right past me late last year, and that dude is really big.
Yes.
Do not approach her and do something dumb. If that guy's around, it's kind of like if you're in the woods and you play with a bear cub and the bear comes out, the real bear, like it's just, his shoulders are twice as wide as mine. I'm really not embellishing that at all.
No, this is
a very terrifying individual to look at.
Hey, by the way, we mentioned the ratings just slightly. SmackDown this past week didn't do too bad.
Well, it did go down to 2.68. So, what's today? The August 7th.
Mm-hmm. So it's been up and down. It's been up and down. I will say that this week's show was much better than last week's show.
Let's see what the rating is on August 30th. Let's see if we can remember that. That's the one I think will be interesting. August 30th, because that'll be two after SummerSlam. The Ziggler Ambrose stuff, surprisingly compelling.
Yes, I liked it.
If you're just going to have Ziggler go in there and do a job, I mean, because correct booking logic is to have Ziggler win the title, which is kind of funny if you think about it.
Well,
I'm only saying that because he keeps jobbing up until now.
If this is the whole, it's very Rocky, you know, it's like Apollo Creed versus Rocky. You've got, you know, basically Rocky being Dolph Ziggler clawing and scratching his way to the top. And you have the guy that's on top, Apollo Creed, played by Dean Ambrose, saying, come at me with your best shot, but you're not as good as me. And then, that's Rocky, folks. Yeah. That is the Rocky angle, because you have two baby faces. People want to cheer for both. And I think it was very effective, you know? There was a slight heelish move there on Ziggler's part, very slight, but not to the point where you don't like the guy. The guy is legit.
Father says that Ziggler's being used to heat up Ambrose for when AJ beats Cena, and it'll be AJ Ambrose, and then AJ is the SmackDown champion, like they were going to do all along.
Right. Well, that makes complete sense. But in the meantime, they are building Dolph as someone that's being a little bit more edgy, a little more credible than your standard show off who just keeps on doing the job. But, you know, but it seems to me in Nashville, and my wife was Kristen was talking about this. How did you feel about the Nashville crowd, and which one? And this is an interesting discussion point, you know, completely off topic, but heel cities versus face cities, or what we call smart mark cities to casual audience cities. How does Nashville fare?
The NXT crowd is a smart mark crowd that is fervent of the baby face of NXT. Whereas the typical crowd that's at the, what do they call the arena now? The
Bridgestone Arena?
Now they call it the Bridgestone Arena. The Bridgestone Arena crowd is a straight up Tennessee baby face. We watch TV crowd. And they didn't really know who American Alpha is. That being said, American Alpha is the type of tag team that can get over with a city like Nashville. Nashville's not a smart mark city. The NXT crowd, how many people were there? 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe 1,500.
Maybe 1,500.
Okay, so maybe 15 or 20% of Nashville is smart mark. And the other, you got a lot of families, you got a lot of kids, the demographic is very varied, which they drive in.
They drive in from all points in Tennessee to see the show in Nashville.
Yeah, and we've been to a lot of shows, you and I, separate and apart. But I will tell you guys that NXT show we saw at the War Memorial blew the motherfucker off. I mean, it was the shit. But, I think American Alpha is going to get over once they add these SmackDown tag team titles. You better add some more tag teams. I mean, I keep saying the same things that I said the moment they did the drafting that Tuesday night. It's just, I think it was just apparent right away, and now it's apparent they can't get new oldish guys back like MVP and Carlito. You never know what MVP, he might show up. I think the problems are still there. And now, you know, Daniel Bryan's are going to be on Monday Night Raw already, and I mean they're funny, you know. They split it up, and then they want to. This all happened before. I saw it. It's happened 10 years ago. It's the same exact shit.
It seems
much worse though.
It seems to me like their play for full time contracts, something's going to have to give, and in this new era, you almost want to see them maybe have very smaller contracts and offer these people short-term contracts in order to put them on TV to get certain talent over and be done with it, because they won't be utilized. You know, they're going to be fringe players. You're casting fringe players to handle a small program, if anything, to get the newer talent over. So right. Why not offer them a short term contract instead of a year contract or a long term contract? Mm-hmm. That way they can negotiate some things and they can make some money and continue to do independent shows after their run is over. That might be a little bit more palatable, but who am I? I'm just a wrestling fan.
So it's a control issue with them. They want to control everything.
Of course they do, because they are being on their brand means that they're adding prestige and makes them a more viable option for independent bookings. And we know that.
But they ain't got the payroll to pull it off. And these people are smarter and wiser, you know, and they're not giving into the bullshit.
Well, they're not kids anymore. They're not kids anymore. They know how the system works because they've been in it.
I've always know
what they used to make. So
I've always said this. Every wrestler I totally have respect for. The only thing that I like to be analytical about are the dealings of this corporation, of this company, that I, quite frankly, am offended by some of the things they have done over the course of the last 30 years. You know, from the Cream Team, allegedly stuff, all the way till letting Lesnar not take a piss test. There's been a history of some strangeness and control issues that leads me to believe that, in fact, this is a group of Satanists.
Going from one...
Allegedly!
Before we wrap up, going
don't from kill
one,
me!
Going from one hen house to the next, TNA Impact, James Storm beat Eli Drake to capture the King of the Mountain.
Oh, man.
So, you know, Gail Kim on her way, beating Sienna to further her advancement in the Knockouts quest for the title. Matt and Jeff Hardy team up to beat JT Dunn and Chuck Taylor. Ruby Sky barked orders along ringside, and Matt pinned Dunn after taking out Jeff. Interesting. Grado and Shara beat Tribunal and Al Snow. The Tribunal, I should say. Did I say that wrong? I put the emphasis on the wrong.
You said Grado wrong, and you said the Tribunal wrong.
Great, Grado. I know I can't read for anything because I don't care about Grado or the Tribunal. Sorry.
Oh, he's nice and fat. Hey, listen, the real promo of the week, let's change the promo of the week.
Let's go back to Ethan Carter and Maria with Michael Bennett. How about that?
The real promo of the week should be Matt and Jeff Hardy. This is what I was – see, it relates. What did Michael – Michael Bennett did what? He's having a match with Ethan Carter the third? Well, let me get my wallet.
Yeah. Ethan Carter the third beat Mike Bennett with Maria to win the Bound for Glory. Can you believe it? They're still going to do Bound for Glory playoffs. EC3 advances to Bound for Glory to face the TNA heavyweight champion of the world, either Lashley or James Storm.
I like Lashley. I do. Lashley is great, especially for them. And then everything.
Lashley's great.
And then everything with Matt Hardy is 5 stars. I mean, not just the final deletion. Everything I've seen him do is fantastic. You know, he does a match with who did he lose to the other day? I think it was Michael Bennett. You know, he does a match. But anything he does outside of the arena is just gold to me. So TNA is watchable to some degree now. You know, I'm more interested in it than a lot of what Ring of Honor has done. Although I love their head shaving angle with Jay Lethal and the Young Bucks. But that's why the Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy thing would have been a great promo of the week, because Matt Hardy said when they faced the Young Bucks that he is going to eat their feet and then they won't be able to do any super kicks.
We are going to leave everybody with the promo of the week. Thanks to Paul. And so feel free to write us, feel free to tweet us, feel free to send us messages over Facebook. Please do that. It's P Wrestling Cast on Twitter and Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook. Feel free to check out our website at prowrestlingcast.com for all of our great shopping links so you can support the show. Leave us those 5-star ratings on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Give us the thumbs up. Subscribe to our show on iTunes and all those other platforms, as well as YouTube. We would greatly appreciate it. Speaking of Twitter, Stephen, you can be found on Twitter making some interesting tweets every day. So what is your Twitter account?
Dr. Death Mark. I'm a Mark.
Follow him. Follow him. Follow him, folks.
Big time Mark.
You can follow me as well as Al John Rocks, as well as at Jedi Mouseketeer. You can follow all my great geeky rants and raves over there. I just a quick shout out. I was on the Oz Fans Network podcast this week for Australian Geeks. I'm not Australian, but I am also a geek, so they invited me to talk about Star Wars and Transformers and Pro Wrestling Cast and about a bunch of different geeky things. So shout out to the folks over there at Oz Fans Radio Network for that. And kinds of great podcasts. Yes.
I read your article you posted about there being aliens. That was really interesting.
Oh, about being aliens?
They're finding, the scientists thinking they found some aliens in outer space.
Did I post something like that?
Yes. It's on your newsletter for the week.
Did I? Okay, great. Good. Yes.
It's like that first thing on it.
Oh.
What's wrong with you?
I don't even know what to post. I don't.
Is that someone else's newsletter? Is that real?
Well, look, I did say on the Oz Fans Radio Network that it is naive of me to believe that we're the only sentient beings in the universe, that in the vastness of space, where there are throngs and throngs of different galaxies and things of that nature, that it would be naive of me to believe that we are alone.
Where did that come from just now? Wow.
I'm just saying.
Sentient what?
Yes, I'm just saying, as we're the only, as we are beings that know our place, that are self-aware, I do believe, am I wrong, that we are naive to think we're the only thinking, logical beings in the grand spectrum of the universe, which is vast and unknown to us. We are just a little speck of dust in what is the grand machine, which is the universe.
Yes.
Maybe that is our promo of the week. Thank you.
Andy. That is your promo of the week. And let me tell you. And let me tell you this: if those aliens try to attack the USA, these guns is going to be there. You know what I'm saying? So I'll be holding up the flag with like a shield, just like the Man of War album cover, Warriors of the World.
Yes.
And I'll best album.
Yes.
Much better than any Beatles album, especially Revolver.
Wow. You could go ahead and quote him on that. And you can't teach that, and you can't teach Pro Wrestling Cast. We are the entertaining marks on the internet. Thank you for watching our very unique take on professional wrestling every week. We're going to leave you with Paul's favorite, with a promo from the magical Jim Cornette. And can you set this up for us before we head out?
Yeah. First of all, it runs very long, so you may well just play about the first 3.5 minutes of it. And basically, they wanted to do a final Bill Watts run to make a whole bunch of money, which they did. They did the Superdome, did 20,000 people, and they did it all over Louisiana and Oklahoma and even in Texas. And this is to set up Bill Watts coming back. But in order to set up Bill Watts coming back and bringing back the Junkyard Dog, who had been suspended for 90 days due to a match stipulation, they first start off with the Rock and Roll Express doing an angle with the Midnight Express. And to do that, they have to have Jim Cornette have his birthday. That's how big and vast this angle was. But this starts off the angle. And he has a birthday party with hats. And his mother has bought the party favors and the hats and the cake. And this is when Cornette's really funny, because he's really playing the young, rich prick from Kentucky thing really to the hilt. And it's probably the best modern angle I've ever seen, because it's so clever. It involves so many people. And it's great.
And there you have it. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Pro Wrestling Cast. We will see you next week. We try to get this for you every single Sunday night or Monday morning as much as we can. Thank you so much for letting us into your home every single week. We appreciate your support. On behalf of Steven, my name's Al John. Don't forget to tuck your head, and big props out to the man, Nick Bockwinkel. Rest in peace.
For life.
Promo of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this next segment, Boyd Pierce, Mid-South Wrestling, Grizzly Smith, we are not responsible for it. We'll go to ringside now for a special segment.
Well, as Cowboy Bill Watts said, Jim Cornette has purchased some time here on Mid-South Wrestling to have a celebration. You know, Jim Ross, I know that everybody's just as pleased as I am that we are, as you can see, oh boys, now control yourselves, the new Mid-South Tag Team Champions. Can you see those belts right there? I told everybody it was only a matter of time. Just as quick as we cornered those chickens, two and TA, the first chance we had, we took the belts. You can see the proof right here. Oh, Bobby, keep throwing. Come on, let's celebrate.
We'll celebrate.
Don't you wish you could come to our party, Jim Ross? Because I love that. I'm a partying kind of guy. Look at all the stuff we got here. I want to show you something. A congratulatory letter from my mother telling me how happy that she is that we won the belts. Don't read. This against the law to read other people's mail, Jim Ross. You know what? Hey, look at there. The champagne is flowing. That is French champagne, Jim Ross. $100 a bottle, because when I do something, I do it right. Of course, I don't drink, but I... No. You go ahead. I don't begrudge Dennis and Bobby a little sip every now and then, but I'll drink my Pepsi later. Now, we also have some balloons.
Do you drink, Mr.
Plates.
TV announcer?
Hey, don't give him any. He's not invited. He's not invited. We have the napkins, as you can see. Right. I tried to hire a clown, but Boyd Pierce was all booked up, so I couldn't get that. But we've got everything else, and the main thing that I want to say is... The people in the studio audience are not invited, because you people are going to see right now how much fun it is to be in the Midnight Express, and you're going to see why that we are the champions, but they can't come. And I'm going to say, shut up over there. This is our party. We can do anything we want to. And I'm going to say one more thing, Jim Ross. You know, my mother was going to be here today, but unfortunately, she had a meeting to go to. She had to fly to New York and meet with E.F. Hutton, and she couldn't be here. But I know that you will extend your deepest regards to her. Won't you do that?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, right. Very, very happy to be here.
Yeah, but anyway, and now, the piece de resistance, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, this beautiful cake right here. I normally don't let Dennis and Bobby eat sweets. But in this case, once again, I am going to make an exception, because they are the tag team champions of all the Mid-South. They will remain so for quite some time. See how exuberant they are. Oh, Bobby, don't slobber now, Bobby. That's not polite. Don't slobber. I know you're excited. They're going to party all night long. Isn't that like a song or something? Well, now don't go into that, boys. But anyway, what I'm going to do now, this cake is rather large, but you ain't never seen these boys eat. So I am going to, at this time, let the boys go over there and show these people how much fun you have when you're in the Midnight Express. But remember, don't let them join in, because they're not invited. They're not invited. Just show them how much fun we have. And I'm going to cut this dad up here right now.
Okay.
And when I do, Jim Ross, you can't have any.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's quite a celebration going on here at ringside. Jim Cornette's very pleased that his men have become the Mid-South Tag Team Champions. They've got champagne, they've got a big nice cake and everything. Whoa! Jim Cornette, the Rock and Roll Express! Woo! Oh,
what in the world is...
Oh.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Bill.
The Rock and Roll Express joined the party. I wonder if he'd... them.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, Cornette. Cornette has got cake all over himself from at the hands of the Rock and Roll Express. The party's over. The party is over. I'd like to be able to say something to Cornette here. Jim Cornette, I'd like to be able to get a word here. They're leaving. Let's go back to ringside of Bill Watts and Boyd Pierce. Jim Cornette, I'd like to be able to get a word here. I'm here at ringside.
They know where you are. Just listen to me. This is the most disgusting, the most humiliating thing that has ever happened to me in my life. Look at me. I know where I've got cake. I am not used to being treated like this. I'm a Cornette. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It was bad enough once. I've talked to my mother's attorneys. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue Grizzly Smith, Oral Link. If I can get all these people served in the studio, I'll sue them too. It was bad enough to play the thing once and laugh at it, but you got to play it again and have everybody all over Mid-South Wrestling laughing at me with cake all over my face like an idiot. Now, what's Big Head doing here?
I don't want to butt in, but let me say one thing. I'm president of Mid-South, and I ask Oral Link to play this. It's not his fault. It's not Grizz's fault. It's not their fault. I think it was funny. I think it was great. I think it's about time you got what's coming to you. So if your mother wants to sue somebody, have her get her attorneys and sue me. And that's I want to say to you.
Well, hey, I got something to say to you, Bill Watts. Let me tell you something. I've heard all
the
things.
Don't put your hands
up. Hey, I'll do anything I want. I've heard all the names you've been calling me, all the things you've been saying about me the past few weeks. Let me tell you what I think of you, Bill Watts. I'm going to tell you, I think you're a washed-up cowboy. You think you're John Wayne or Marshall Dillon or something, riding the range for right and might. You come out here, who appointed you to be criticizing people, huh? Who made you the boss? You come out here, you criticize me, you criticize other people, but you take up for Bill Watts. You take up for your friends. Well, let me tell you something. I'm sick of you, Marshall Dillon. I'm sick of what you're saying about everybody. This is horrible. This is not something to be laughed at. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I will call my mother. I will have her send out enough money. Don't interrupt me, Big Mouth. You got a mouthful of memories, but you can't back them up anymore. I'm going to ever send out enough money that she'll buy controlling interest in your crummy Mid-South Wrestling Corporation, and I'm not going to fire you. I'm going to demote you down to the basement. I'm going to have you a janitor swabbing out lavatories, cleaning bathrooms, picking up other people's garbage, and you know what else? I'm going to have your stupid, geeky-looking son. I'm going to have your geeky-looking son now, selling Midnight Express t-shirts.
First of all, keep your hands off of me, sissy. Let me tell you, I don't want to argue with you because I run out of words to say in an argument and then I settle it physically. And you're not equipped for it, sissy. And don't ever say anything about my family or my son. Now, I'm going to walk away. This is twice. I'm walking away.
Hey, I don't want you to come.
Whoa, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, wait. Let's go back. Let's get back to Boyd Pierce right away.
Well, I never seen like this. I know Bill Watts a long time. Jim Cornette may be sipping soup through a straw, because I've seen that hand put a man out more than a baseball bat. That's all the time. Goodbye till next week on Mid-South Wrestling.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.